You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
I'm going to modify the title from this point on just a little bit and say, it's a thief in the night. The Lord is a thief in the night to nearly everybody, but not to the children of light. That's what we saw in 1 Thessalonians 5. He would be a thief in the night, but not to the children of light. Then we also saw in Revelation chapter 3 that he spoke to one facet of the church and said, if you don't watch, my coming will be like a thief in the night. And so we know that for those that are watching, those that are of the light, he's not going to be like a thief in the night, but to everyone else, even sleeping Christians, sleeping as far as not being dead, but here and asleep at the wheel, in a manner of speaking, the day of the Lord and his coming will be like a thief in the night. Matthew chapter 24, you of course know that this is one of the three chapters in the Gospel of Mark, Matthew, and Luke, where Jesus has been asked two or three questions, and he's in the process of answering about his coming and the signs of his coming and so forth. And so in the middle of this, in verse 13, Jesus says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Let me quickly tell you, the word endure means remain. It means to undergo. It means to bear the trials. The word endure means to take patiently. So that's what the Lord is encouraging we who will be here, the kind of attitude that we have, to remain, to undergo, to bear the trials, to take patiently unto the end. That means the conclusion, the termination, the uttermost of the great trouble. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That word saved means protected, means delivered. That word saved means to keep safe and sound. I hope that you know by now in your heart that God is perfectly able to protect His own in the midst of the greatest of attacks or things that would otherwise snuff out the life of a human being. God can protect you from such things. He can protect us by guarding us through it. He can protect us by taking us out. But all indications are that we're going to be here and He's going to take care of us. He's going to keep us safe and sound. That's what that word saved means. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye... Now, he's talking to his disciples here. There may be others listening, but his disciples are the one, Peter and James and John and that group, his disciples are the one that ask him the question. So he's addressing his followers. He's not talking to the world. He's not necessarily talking to unsaved Israel. When ye, talking to his disciples, therefore see the abomination of desolation... So he's indicating that the disciples, his disciples, not those disciples, but his disciples, his followers, are going to see the abomination of desolation. spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when ye see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains, let him which is on the housetop not come back down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. That seems to be a very definite indication that there will be a plan in place that when the Antichrist does this very thing, stands in the holy place and declares himself to be God, there will be a plan in place to immediately, if not moments before, have a list of people that they know they can go and get right away that are going to be nothing but trouble for the Antichrist. And so Jesus is warning, when you see this happen, don't go back and get your belongings. Wherever you are, go from there and escape away. Verse 19, and woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Now for those people that challenge Sabbath keepers, I ask you, why would Jesus in A.D. 30 be talking about people in A.D. 2011, 12, 13, 14, 15, the last days? Why would Jesus be talking to us in these last days, giving us these specific warnings for people living in these last days that would see the Antichrist be made known? Why would Jesus mention the Sabbath if it weren't to be kept yet? Verse 21. For then, when this happens, when the Antichrist stands where he shouldn't be standing, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. Not a living human being would survive if the Lord didn't intervene at some point. But for the elect's sake, that's us, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now I'm going to remind you, verse 21 again says, for then shall be great tribulation. Verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. This has every indication of it being the beginning of the day of the Lord, which is a phase within the phase of the last days. The day of the Lord. We can read about that in Joel and in Isaiah and other places, and we may before this series is over. But this description of what Jesus says is, by other places mentioned in the Word, what Jesus mentions here is, by definition, the beginning of the day of the Lord. Not as in one 24-hour period, but as in a period of time where things happen that really have to do with judgment and wrath. But look what happens here. But immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. Now I remind you, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days, verse 31, and he shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. After the tribulation, a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, That means the four corners of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other. Do you see that? Immediately after tribulation, there is a trumpet sound and the gathering of His people to meet Him in the clouds. Now, if you've listened closely in this series, and if you missed last week's message, you need to listen to it because we have gone back through those one-liner, out-of-context verses, put them back into the picture and the frame that the Holy Spirit originally put them in to show you that they're used out of context and what they're trying to tell us and convince us of is not biblical. So I encourage you, if you missed last week and haven't heard it, go back and listen to it. It is available to you. If you have listened closely in this series, you should have a sense of the truth on the issue of the Lord's return for us. That we can and should know when that time of His coming draws immediately near. For a believer to say, "The Bible says we cannot know the day," you should ask him, "Which Bible does it say that in?" Or you could say, "Would you show me in my King James Version Holy Bible, in proper context and rightly divided, where it says that?" It is not possible for even a professional clergyman, and that's really an offensive term. Not to me, because I don't consider myself a professional clergyman. A professional clergyman is that person that has called himself, put himself through seminary, gone off and claims to be a pastor or minister, and has no business being behind the pulpit by the way they live. They go from one church to the next every 2 or 3 years or so, depending on where the salary is better. That is a professional clergyman. In fact, many professional clergymen have a book of notes that they preach for as long as 2, 3, 4 years, and when they're done with their notes, they can't come up with anything new because they're not students of the Word of God. They're not filled with the Spirit, so they got to go to another church so they can pull out their book of notes and preach those things all over again because they don't have any new material. Professional clergymen, stay away from them. It is not possible for even a professional clergyman to prove that the Bible says that we cannot know the day and support such a claim as that. The Jews knew, or could have known, the Jews knew when Messiah would come the first time because their Holy Scriptures, now the first 2/3 of our Holy Scriptures, their Holy Scriptures provided the details about when He would arise in Israel. To the very year it would happen, and even down to time closer than that. Those same scriptures that shared with the nation of Israel when Jesus would arise, when Messiah would show up, those same scriptures with the additional writings of the New Testament now give us enough information on the subject of His coming to resurrect the righteous dead and rapture the godly living. These same scriptures give us enough information on the subject of His second coming that we can and should know when that time has arrived. That time has not arrived yet. But we know enough about that time that those of us that are still alive will be able to know when that is coming upon us. And we shall hopefully examine this claim as we move forward in this series. I wish to reiterate an important point from last Sabbath's lesson that provides necessary insight into rightly dividing as well as effectively defending God's Word for these last days, and that is this. When you honor and you obey all 10 of His commandments, including the one about Sabbath keeping, when you honor and obey all 10 of His commandments, those, by the way, are in Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5 in order, all there and complete, When you honor and obey all 10 of His commandments, more grace is received from God. Rather, I could say, less grace is blocked from you because of your pride and vanity and your love of the world by stubbornness and a rebellious heart in honoring all 10 of the commandments. So what I'm saying is if you want to rightly be able to divide God's Word and understand it and know what thus saith the Lord is, begin by honoring, obeying all 10 commandments, and you remove some of the blockages in your life that don't allow grace, all the grace that God would like to have you have, flow. And so there is more grace when you obey all 10 of His commandments. When you embrace the 7 yearly feasts of the Lord as well as the weekly feast called the seventh day Sabbath, yes, each week there is a feast of the Lord. That's also in Leviticus chapter 23. Moses tells us the feasts of the Lord begin with the weekly Sabbath. It is a weekly feast of the Lord, an appointed time. That's what feast means, an appointed time of God. When you embrace the 7 yearly feasts of the Lord, as well as the weekly feast called the seventh day Sabbath, you will walk in greater grace and given more biblical understanding. Do you remember Jesus said once, "He that has will be given more, and he that has not will even be taken what he has"? In one respect, it's talking about if you use what God gives you, He gives you more. If you don't use what little God starts out giving you, you won't get any more and you may lose what He's given you. I found it in my life and in our household. We have systematically given this up, given that up, things that I'm talking about here, began honoring the Sabbath, give up the 501c3 tax bondage. The more we gave up in lieu of or in place of the things that God said to do, the more God gave us in understanding of His Word and blessing upon our home. You can have that too if you're not experiencing that. Let me say this again. When you embrace the 7 yearly feasts of the Lord, by the way, the feasts of the Lord are also a key in understanding what's going to happen in these last days, especially in light of the rapture and resurrection, as you'll perhaps hear next week. When you embrace the 7 yearly feasts of the Lord, as well as the weekly feast called the seventh day Sabbath, and I don't mean that you go to church on Saturday, I mean that you're a Sabbath keeper. There's a difference, you know. You will walk in greater grace and given more biblical understanding. When you choose to use the only God-promised Holy Bible, that's the King James Version, more grace still is given from God. And when you, on the flip side, cease or stop to participate in the Christianized pagan unholy days of Christmas, Lent, Good Friday, and Easter Sun God Day, yes, there is even more grace flowing into your life, your marriage, and the family in your home. And for those that this advice might apply to, those that might listen to this message in the future, if you are in a 501c3 churchianity system, the sooner you find a group of believers that have made the Lord Jesus the head of the church and not the government, not the IRS, not wherever you're incorporated, but you make Jesus the head of the church, and just because you say, well, He is the Lord of our church, even though you're 501c3, that's an oxymoron. You can't have both. You can't have the government or the IRS as head of your church and Jesus too. It's either one or the other. The sooner you find a group of believers that have the Lord Jesus as the head of the church, the better off you will be too. Therefore, the point that I hoped to make last week, and I wanted to make sure by mentioning it again this week, if you need more grace, and we do, If you want more favor from El Shaddai, He who is God Almighty, begin living out more and more of the instructions and ways of Almighty God, and you will have more grace. That is the undeserved special kindness and favor of God. These things I attest to from personal experience. I don't want to stop now and give you several examples of why, but the Lord has shown me, us, Sister Gail and I, the more we walk in what He gives us, the more He gives us, and the more we walk in that, the greater related blessings upon our physical environment He sends our way. And God means for us all, as His children, to have such blessings. But if we walk in rebellion, stubbornness, hard-heartedness, pride, vanity, we want to do things our way, we don't think that applies to us now, kind of an attitude, you block the very grace for the things that you wish God would let you have. And I'm not so much talking about physical things, but really great blessing that would just show you honor, the honor of God, while you live in this world today. Let me give you two examples. Two of many, many I could. And I'm going to be a little bit mysterious about it because, well, I have reasons, but you remember a couple of years ago, I took Sister Patsy home from one of our Sabbath meetings, and as I stepped around her wheelchair in her home, it caught my kneecap and it dislocated it and jammed it in the side of my leg. If you don't know, a dislocated joint is the second most painful thing a human body can endure. I don't know if it's worse than the first, being gunshot in the belly or having your bowels hanging out the front of you. That's supposedly the hardest, most painful thing a human can endure. Dislocated joint is second. But I'm here to tell you, it was very, very painful. Sister Modesta and Sister Patsy heard me cry out in pain unlike no one else in the entire world has ever heard. It was that painful. My point is not that so much as it took an ambulance, several attendants, at least one doctor, several nurses, and the emergency room in our community to get that thing put back in its rightful place. Cost $10,000 for one little two-minute ambulance ride as well as the short stay in the hospital. $10,000. I paid some of it, offered to make arrangements for the rest of it, and we got a letter from the hospital, and they said, you know what? We're going to forgive you the whole thing. You tell me another time when somebody gets a letter from a hospital with a large balance and said, you don't have to pay us anything. We're going to let it go. More recently, we had a very large debt that probably would have went on many, many years. And I'm not going to give you the details other than to say we were roughly 20% paid of that debt. And it was a very big number. Very big number. Been faithful in making that payment. And we got a letter that said, your obligation is over. Just remember the other conditions that we talked to you about. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. No, this can't be true. We're still years away from paying this off. So finally, when I got a hold of somebody, you know how this electronic age is, you can dial for a week and push this button and that button and never get a human being. 6 months later, I got to talk to a human being. And this person said, oh yeah, your debt is gone. Don't make any more payments because we'll just have to send it back to you. Let me tell you, this particular organization never forgives a penny. And they forgive 80% of a very big, big debt. That's the kind of grace. You don't even expect it when you're walking in the ways of God, when you're obeying His commandments. And not because you're grumbling about it, but because you love God and it's a pleasure to walk in God's ways. If you need more grace, if you want more grace, do these things that I'm telling you about. I promise you, you will get the kind of grace that you hope for. The more you humble yourself and do things God's way, the more grace flows upon your life. The more you tune into, like a radio that's just off the channel just a little bit, you know, it's staticky and it's breaking up and it's coming and going. The more you tune into and align yourself with the commands of God's Word, the more grace laps onto your life like a rising ocean tide. And as they used to say in an old TV show, believe it or not, it's up to you. It's only going to cost you. It's not going to cost me. Let me read you a couple of reminders here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And then I remind you of James chapter 4. Brother Noel read James chapter 5 this morning. Excellent, excellent introduction to what the Holy Spirit is sharing with us today. James chapter 4, verse 4, I remind you again, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10. And there are so many other scriptures that say the same thing. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Last Sabbath, we touched on a last day's command of the Scriptures. An important part of our living through most, if not all, of the 42-month war on the saints is the watching and praying that the Lord Jesus, the apostles Paul and Peter, instructed us to do. Watch and pray. And I asked you last week, why would Jesus, Paul, and Peter tell us to watch and pray if we were long gone? They wouldn't. Keeping in mind, what are we watching for? And how are we to pray? If we remember the context of these warnings, what was the picture and the frame that these warnings were in? Keeping in mind the context of these warnings, we can easily understand that what we are praying about is at least related to what we are seeing as a result of our watching. We watch, we see, we pray. We watch, we see, we pray. The word watch means to keep awake. Not physically, unless that is an unusual opportunity. There will be all nights of prayer, I am sure, in this very place. But keep awake. Spiritually keep awake. Mentally stay awake. Be vigilant. Peter uses the word watch that means abstain. Withdraw from those things that distract you. Those things of the world. It means to keep sober. And certainly you understand he's not talking about stay off the bottle. He's saying keep your mind sharp and alert. It means to be calm and collected in spirit. How else can we watch and pray effectively if we're frazzled, if we're nervous, if we're scared, if we're frightened, if we're discombobulated, whatever that word means. I know it means to be, you know, kind of frazzled. But that's what the word watch for these last days means to us. Let's consider the command to watch. What should we be paying attention to anyway? In a word, actually four. What should be watching? Should we be paying attention to everything from now on? A lot of Christians today have no clue what's going on in Greece. They barely would even know it's in Europe. A lot of Christians wouldn't have any idea the ramifications of what's happened in Japan. Oh, that's really bad. Boy, that's too bad for them. Yes, it really is, but there are ramifications that touch even our community. What should we be paying to? Everything from now on. And okay, so what can we expect to see? Well, among a great long list of things that we could list for you, I have listed several here. Let me tell you what you can expect to see if you're paying attention, if you're watching, if you're sober-minded, thinking clearly, as a child of God should be in these last days. The first thing, not necessarily in these orders, but the first thing I have on my list is you should be watching the institutional church, because it is even now careening out of control and into blatant apostasy. Just yesterday there was an article posted on international news that said, I believe it was the United Church of Christ, don't hold me to that, but it was a significant denomination, a significant Christian denomination, voted with enough votes in their general council for the year to stop referring to God as the Father. This is a Christian organization who now says, you can talk about Jesus, and you can talk about the Holy Spirit, but we're not going to talk about God the Father. They're heading into apostasy. I shared with you 2-3 weeks ago, sometime in, I think it's already passed, I don't know, but more than 50 to 75 churches, even here in the United States, had set aside a particular Sunday where they were going to invite Muslim imams and such to come into their church and read out of the Quran to their Christian congregations. Apostasy. You need to keep an eye on it so that you can keep away from it. If you know of such organizations or such churches even in our community that have moved way off of dead center of God's holy word, stay away from them. Don't even go out of curiosity. So what should we expect to see? The Bible clearly tells us there will be apostasy at or about the time when the Antichrist himself will be made known. The institutional church careening out of control and into blatant apostasy. The second thing I have on my list is an increase in spiritual warfare by true Christians and a rise of open demonic outbursts and the control of their hosts. That means demon possession. I don't like the word possession. That implies ownership. I prefer the word demonization. But you're going to see more and more, especially as the church moves itself into apostasy, you're going to see more and more demonic outbursts, and people will not have control over it. And my question is, who among you is ready for deliverance ministry? Whether directly or in a supporting role. If you're not, you need to go back and listen to several things we have. One is the armor of God for these last days. Another is what we've recently done in some of the work on Know Thine Enemy, spiritual warfare in you, and there's been others. Because you will, if you're a genuine Christian and you are planning on enduring to the end, you will be involved in one way or another in deliverance ministry. People are going to come into this very place and need to be delivered of the demonic. And we're not to shrink back. Here's another thing. Things going on in our solar system, especially ones that affect our planet. Here's another one. Catastrophic events all over the planet. I speak of things as earthquakes. Big ones and lots of them. Volcanoes. There was a banner headline this morning. I don't know where it was. I didn't read it. But one of the most dangerous volcanoes in the world right now is at the verge of exploding. They have news reports all the time in the non-U.S. media that even Yellowstone Caldera is getting ready to put on a big show. Cracks in the earth are appearing for no reason. There's been no earthquake, no volcanic activity, and somebody will go out and find in their field a crack that's so many yards long and so many yards wide that just appeared overnight. They can't understand it. As the earth convulses under the kinds of things that these last days bring upon us. Floods, you know about floods if you've been paying attention to the news. Our middle United States is underwater more or less, and the snow melt has barely begun to start. Plagues, drought, famine, mass deaths, not only of animals but of eventually human beings from many of these things, and not to mention bizarre behaviors, both in animals and people. Catastrophic events all over the planet. Keep an eye on them. Pay attention. Here's another one. Changes in our country and in the world that opens doors to things intended to directly threaten our lives as Christians. Things such as the loss of our national sovereignty. We're very close to that. Things such as the criminalization of Christians and Jews. We're close to that. Such things as outlawing of the Bibles, outlawing of many Bibles, but specifically the King James Version, which the devil hates. It's the one Bible you want to be caught quoting in a deliverance session. It's the one with the power. Such things as a voluntary mark at first, a mark as such as some kind of a mark on your skin or a subdermal chip. It's little known, but Obamacare has made it law, unless they repeal it before then, Obamacare has made it law that by the end of 2013, every human being in the United States will have a subdermal chip by the end of 2013. Everyone that will be able to interact with financial organizations and with medical organizations. It's coming. That may not be the mark of the beast, but it's about as close as you can get. So, as I said, what things can we expect that are a direct threat to us? A voluntary mark, at first, for medical and financial benefits. A new currency is just over the horizon. Programs that offer favor for exposing those that the government has disfavored. And you and I are on that list. Here's another one. The changing. Pay attention to the changing of emotional, mental, and spiritual states of those around you. You'll notice people are changing. That may, in many instances, be an opportunity for you to begin to minister the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's another one that will be obvious. Civil disobedience ranging from protests which are already going on here in the United States, ranging from protests to outright rioting and looting due to economic reversals. If you've been paying attention, you know we are no better off now than we were a year or two ago, even with all this quantitative easing 1 and quantitative easing 2, and they're looking at quantitative easing 3, which is going to do nothing but make things worse. As I said, you're going to see civil disobedience ranging from protest to outright rioting and looting due to economic reversals, which themselves lead to the loss of incomes, hyperinflation, which is a loaf of bread for $50 or more, that's hyperinflation, bare food shelves, shortages of medical help and pharmaceutical drugs, and other things that result in a depressed economy. Something else you should always keep an eye on is Jerusalem. A serious Middle East regional conflict involving parts of Europe, the United States, and the Arab nations is on the drawing board and pretty much already staged and ready to go. There will perhaps be other countries involved, but this we know from Isaiah chapter 17, it will lead to the use of nuclear weapons. Here's another one, feeling the influence of. We already can. Feeling the influence of and seeing the eventual revealing of the Antichrist in the flesh. Yes, we're going to see it. We're going to see him take his place. The Bible says that. We just read it in Matthew 24. Something else that you can watch for is the influence and eventual open ambassadorship of the false prophet. He is the Antichrist's ambassador. The false prophet. The reestablishment of Jerusalem's temple proceedings for the nation. They will restore at least the morning and evening oblations on the Temple Mount. We know this because the Bible clearly says that the Antichrist will at some point go and put a stop to it. You can't put a stop to it if it's not been reestablished. Keep an eye on what's going on in Jerusalem. And last, I'll mention, there are others, something to keep an eye on. Many of you young people are, because we've discussed it. Look at a continued crescendoing, that means a rising, a building of UFO sightings and even ground activity, where they begin to land. There was an article the other day about one, a UFO, there was a report of one having had landed temporarily, quickly, at an airport. Now, we know they've been hovering over airports, especially in China. But one, for the first time the other day, according to this news report, actually landed at an airport and then took off. They're getting ready for that particular part of the Antichrist's plan, the devil's plan. So keep an eye on the crescendoing of UFO sightings and even ground activities. Now, let's move on quickly. There are some other things that we must be keenly aware of as we watch, according to its secondary definition, meaning to abstain, to keep sober, be calm and collected in spirit, to watch. On the one hand, we must be keeping an eye on the outward, those things that I've just mentioned to you, the outward and the natural world we live in. Keep an eye on those things. While on the other hand, do not forget, we need to stay in touch with the inward, our own spirit and soul and our human body. We must stay aware. So often the devil comes against me in my body. Once in a while I'm not paying attention and I almost get caught by whatever he's trying to throw upon me. But if you're aware of it and you rebuke it, in almost all cases, it stops and goes away. The need to do that is increasing, dear ones. You need to stay aware of changes that are going on within your very existence. If suddenly you become aware that you're really bummed out, you're really discouraged, you're really depressed, and you don't know why, that's an attack from the enemy. Rebuke it. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you don't, you're going to end up depressed, and that could lead to even more terrible results. We know this from a family experience. where somebody became so depressed, eventually they starved to death. Literally, starved to death. So we need to stay in touch with our own spirit, our own soul and body as well. And I share this with you. Stay alert to physical and spiritual attacks against our physical and mental emotional health. You're going to have to fight certain days to be a joy-filled child of God. Or you'll be bummed out and blue, and you're going to be a poor example of what Jesus can do to those around you that need to hear that message. Stay alert to physical and spiritual attacks against our physical and mental emotional state, which is military warfare, whether it be from natural means or from the spiritual world. There's so much information out there now about military applications by high frequencies and extremely low frequencies that can affect your attitude. Make you feel good, make you feel bad, make you feel joyful, make you sick, make you suicidal. They can do it all. They know what frequencies that cause people to do these things. I shared with you in spiritual warfare, one of the spiritual warfare things, the one thing that we can do by the name of Jesus, by the authority of His name, by the power of His blood, is we can even help ourselves against such U.S. military attacks against your mental well-being. The power of Jesus' name could put a stop to anything. And there's plenty of things out there that you wouldn't even know what's going on. That's why a lot of people hear voices and they don't know where they're coming from. Some of them are being tested to see if the stuff actually works. But so much about sci-fi stuff, even though it's here now. That's military warfare. Another thing I want to remind you of is to stay. Oh, I hope you get this. It'll save you so much heartache. Stay only fragilely connected to the things of this world. Allow such things of this world that you have, that you possess, that you enjoy, allow such things of this world to be easily broken away from you if needed. If you lose your home, don't worry about it. If they repossess your car, don't worry about it. If you couldn't make the payments, okay, you couldn't make the payments, but don't let it disrupt your relationship with God because they repoed your home or kicked you out of your car, or vice versa. Whatever the things are of the world that you enjoy and have and possess, if they get broken or stolen or destroyed or taken away, let it happen. Let them be fragile. I think that I know. Brother Jerry's a big fan of football. Maybe he can confirm this. I think that I know that they make football jerseys in such a way as if you're running with the ball and somebody grabs a hold of you and grabs your jersey, it actually pulls apart so that they don't stop you. It actually pulls apart on purpose so that all they got was a handful of your jersey, but you keep going. We need to do the same thing with the things of the world that we enjoy, that we possess, that we use, our resources. If somebody gets a hold of them and wants to take them away from us, let them have it. Keep running forward, though. Stay only fragilely connected to the things of this world. Allow them to easily be broken away from you if needed. Wealth, possessions, friendships, even. Here's another one. Feed your spirit and your mind the Word of God throughout the day. Here's another one. Become accustomed to fasting regularly with prayer, even if it's just one meal. Become accustomed to fasting regularly with prayer. Here's another one. When there are dangers and threats, become prayerful, not fearful. When you're threatened in any respect, do not become fearful. If you do, don't let it last more than 3 seconds. Let your faith arise and become prayerful about it. Pray regularly throughout the day in the Spirit, and yes, I do mean in tongues. Stay full of the Spirit. Here's another one. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you in whatever gifts He has deposited in you. Don't be shy. Don't be backward. If the Lord wants to use you in His spiritual gifts, let Him do it. If you make mistakes, it's okay. The more you use it, the more He's able to flow through you in a way that there are no mistakes. Remain full of faith and shun every occasion for fear. That's what I mean when I say not only stay in touch with what's going on in the world around you, but stay in touch with the inward, your own spirit, soul, and body as well in these last days as we watch and pray. Again, we that live in these last days are commanded to watch and pray. Can you now see what it is we are to be prayerful about in going through this list of things? We should be praying about, now forward, our still unsaved loved ones and friends. I hope that you're calling out their names, not just some general term, Lord, save my friends and family. Lord, I ask you to work the works of salvation. I ask for saving grace in the life of thus and so and this and that and him and her. And you just go right down the list of your families and your friends regularly. Pray for them. Pray that the faith of the saints fail not, including our own. Pray for each other's and our own protection and daily needs. There is nothing that God can't protect you from except your own doubts. Pray for protection and your daily needs in these days that are unfolding before us. Pray for each other's and our own protection and daily needs. Pray for faith that can and does expect the miraculous from El Shaddai. Pray for faith for yourself and for others that can and does expect the miraculous from El Shaddai, Almighty God. Pray for discernment regarding the plans against us. We may gather here some morning and suddenly we have a direct word from the Lord that says, you need to evacuate this building. Someone has planted a bomb. And if we honor the word of God that we've heard, and we move outside, or we move away, or we, you know, something. The plans, the Bible says, the Lord can confuse and disrupt and break up the plans of the evil one against us. We need to be praying for discernment in these last days. Help me to know and to see and to understand, Lord. Pray for wisdom and the counsel of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, I say, and that we pray, yes, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Right now we're rather comfortable. None of us have had really, really, really too much trouble. But enjoy it, because we haven't seen anything yet. Do we need to fear that? The fact of that statement? No, not at all. But we are going to get to the place, I promise you, if we survive, if we're not martyred for the Lord, and that certainly is okay if that's His will. We're certainly going to get to the place where part of our praying every day is, oh Lord, come quickly. Oh Jesus. Revelation chapter 22, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord. Let me read you some scriptures and we wrap it up. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia, that's brotherly love, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee. That word keep, so many translate, or they use this as a a verse to say, see there, the Lord's going to take us out of all the trouble. The word keep is a word that implies protect you in the midst of it, not take you out of it. The word keep, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That word keep means to guard from loss or injury, to keep the eye upon, to maintain. The word also means I will preserve thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I want to remind you again what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of their coming, and of the end of the world? Verse 4, chapter 24 of Matthew, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. He's talking about believers. And shall betray one another. And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. So, brothers and sisters, if you haven't caught on, let me say it clearly. We will not be raptured out of the coming trouble until the end of it all. Do not forget that we have the promise of God to his faithful ones that we can be kept through it. Let me ask you, what effect, if you believe me, what effect does that have on you knowing that we are going to live through the most difficult and destructive times the earth has ever known? Let me give you what I think your response needs to be. It's certainly my response. Number one, settle it in your mind and heart that you know that you have to endure great hardships. It's better to know and plan and then not have to than not know and not plan and be caught unaware. Number two, know that you know that you know that you know in your heart of hearts that you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and that He is God. Number three, study, meditate on, and memorize His Word from the King James Version Holy Bible daily. Number four, pray often and with your family members. Oh, do that, please. Don't be intimidated. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Begin praying with your family members, if they'll let you. Pray often for and with your family members and for your fellow believers for salvation and the ability to endure to the end. And watch closely. Pay attention to what's going on in the world daily and especially in Israel and the Middle East region. And finally, number six, do not forsake, as it says in Hebrews, do not forsake the gathering together of saints for worship, for teaching and prayer, and for spiritual encouragement. Get on track with this kind of an end times endurance program. Get yourself conditioned and in good shape. Get fit now to run the last day's tribulation marathon. Train hard now while you have very few distractions, really. Stop sinning. Stay full of the Spirit or risk being a foolish virgin. Watch and pray and put things in store that you and your family will need in the coming days. And for goodness sake, don't wait until the big trouble starts or it's too late. You don't learn how to swim when the cruise ship is sinking. You learn how to swim before you take the cruise. Or whatever that example might mean to you.
I'm very glad that Brother Scott has been led to do this particular series on A Thief in the Night. You need to hear and let things be confirmed by the mouth of two or more witnesses. You've heard me saying these things for years. And we are supposed to know. We're going to be without excuse not to know. It's been right there in the KJV Holy Bible for all these 400 years, and yet few see what day is that day spoken of, that day that no man knoweth the day or the hour. It's been mistaught, though it's been there. I think it has recently been opened up. In this series, you can know, you're supposed to know, and I think Brother Scott does an excellent job of making that clear. On the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website, right underneath that book cover heading, and right below the Five Deceptions of Islam, you'll find the Great Joy and Great Tribulation Radio MP3 files for making CDs. Yes, copy them and freely distribute them. And if you'll click on that link, the third message down in that listing, and I'm going to be expanding this listing, is a message called The Countdown. And you can find that at that location, www.gjigt-radio.com/countdown.mp3. Now, that's the direct link. I recommend you just go to the Great Joy and Great Tribulation website and click on the Great Joy and Great Tribulation MP3 files for making CDs, and you'll find it's the third one down listed. It's a 70-minute file. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. How many Christians do not know how to count down the final 75 days before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know what to watch for? We're supposed to be watching and praying. Do you know what to watch for? Do you know what to watch and look for to be able to know how to count down the final 75 days? Don't you think that would be a good thing to know? Christians are supposed to know. Yes, they are. Anybody telling you otherwise is not telling you the truth according to the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of truth. Get that countdown message. Learn it. Be able to articulate it. That message can relieve so many burdens from so many people who are worried about these things now coming upon this earth. You can relieve the burden of the fearful things that are coming upon this earth, so fearful that men's hearts will fail for fear of those things which are coming on this earth. That countdown message will lift the burden of it. You need to know and be able to explain this important message to others. What to look for and what you will know when you see how to count down the days till the Lord's return, because He wants you to know. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. this message not only will lift a burden from among faithful remnant people, from among the very elect who are burdened by these things coming upon the earth. It'll lift a tremendous burden, that countdown message will. But not only that, it will facilitate and bring great unity. It will lay the axe to the root of the false prophets and false teachers who are teaching lies. It'll lay the axe to the root of it. I like the way Brother Scott says it. Wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and earthquakes and famines can kill you, but they cannot send you to hell. Deception can send you to hell. That countdown message will lay the axe to the root and cut off the occasion that these false prophets are seeking. You need to hear and know and understand that countdown message. Once again, just go to the website. Right below the book cover title heading on that website, just below the Five Deceptions of Islam, great message from Brother Avi Lipkin, you'll see the listing for the MP3 files, the Great Joy and Great Tribulation MP3 files listing. Click that up and it's the third message down, the countdown message. You should know how to count down the days until the Lord's return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. And know everything is going to be all right. May not be good today, and you may know it's going to get worse tomorrow. But if you will stay in the Word, you should know everything is going to be all right. Hallelujah.